Grace and peace to all of you who have joined us today for our online service of Good Friday Remembrance, where we have no candles, I wear no stole, and we gather beneath the cross of Jesus today as we reflect, remember, and repent. This service is coming to you from the sanctuary of the Mayflower Congregational Church in Lansing, Michigan. I'm Pastor Mark McCormick, joined by our music director, Barb Fuller, liturgist, Jerry Fuller, and production manager, Kim Finneson. Thank you for joining and tuning in. Let us pray. Sovereign God and suffering Lord, we gather in somber reflection and humility of spirit as we remember and worship the man of sorrows who was acquainted with grief. There is no one who is a more compelling witness to grief as we bring our own sorrows, griefs, and despair to the foot of the cross, where we can confidently know that Christ is acquainted with our grief, our sorrows, and our pain. We pause. We remember. We repent. Amen.
Holy Jesus, how hast thou offended that man to judge thee? How then hate pretended my foes derided by
Isaiah chapter 52, verses 13 through 53, 3. See, my servant shall prosper. He shall be exalted and lifted up, and shall be very high. Just as there were many who were astonished at him, so marred was his appearance and his form that beyond that of mortals, so he shall startle many nations. Kings shall shut their mouths because of him, for that which has not been told them they shall see, and that which they had not heard they shall contemplate. Who has believed what we have heard? For he grew up before him like a young plant, and like a root out of dry ground. He had no form or majesty that we should look at him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by others, a man of suffering and acquainted with infirmity. As one from whom others hide their faces, He was despised, and we held him of no account.
Oh, sacred head now wounded, with grief and shame weighed down, now scornfully surrounded, with thorns thy only crown,
Isaiah chapter 53, verses 4 through 8. Surely he has borne our infirmities and carried our diseases, yet we accounted him stricken, struck down by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the punishment that made us whole, and by his bruises we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, and he was afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to slaughter, and like a sheep that before its shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. By a perversion of justice he was taken away. Who could have imagined his future? For he was cut off from the land of the living, stricken for the transgression of my people.
Just give
John chapter 18, verses 25 through 27, and in John chapter 19, verses 16b through 30. Now Simon Peter was standing and warming himself. They asked him, "You are not also one of his disciples, are you?" He denied it and said, "I am not." One of the slaves of the high priest, a relative of the man whose ear Peter had cut off, asked, "Did I not see you in the garden with him?" And Peter denied it, and at that moment the cock crowed. So they took Jesus, and carrying the cross by himself, he went out to what is called the place of the skull, in which in Hebrew is called Golgotha. There they crucified him, and with him two others, one on either side, with Jesus between them. Pilate also had an inscription written and put on the cross. It read, "Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." Many of the Jews read this inscription because the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city, and it was written in Hebrew, in Latin, and in Greek. Then the chief priests of the Jews said to Pilate, "Do not write, 'The King of the Jews.'" But this man said, "I am the King of the Jews," Pilate answered. "What I have written, I have written." When the soldiers had crucified Jesus, they took his clothes and divided them into four parts, one for each soldier. They also took his tunic. Now the tunic was seamless, woven in one piece from the top. So they said to one another, "Let us not tear it, but cast it for to see who will get it. Cast lots for to see who will get it." This was to fulfill what the scripture says, "They divided my clothes among themselves, and for my clothing they cast lots." And that is what the soldiers did. Meanwhile, standing near the cross of Jesus were his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing beside her, he said to his mother, "Woman, here is your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Here is your mother." And from that hour, the disciple took her into his own home. After this, when Jesus knew that all was now finished, he said, in order to fulfill the scripture, "I am thirsty." A jar full of sour wine was standing there, so they put a sponge in full of the wine on a branch of hyssop and held it to his mouth. When Jesus had received the wine, he said, "It is finished." Then he bowed his head and gave up his spirit.
Let us pray. O suffering Lord, we know that whatever we do on Good Friday cannot and shall not replicate the grief and the pain of the heart of God as Jesus, God's Son, hung lifelessly on the cross. But help us to repay you with the openness of our hearts to repent and the purpose and commitment we make to love as you loved. Amen. Never in my lifetime, during a Holy Week, have I been more viscerally reminded of the mysterious realities of life and death than I have this past week. Monday was the funeral of my mother-in-law, Arlene Dean, whose many memories were recounted and whose godly legacy was eloquently remembered, especially by my wife, Deanne. Arlene, Mom, was an integral part of my life for the last 10 years, and I grieve her loss. The anxious question for her family was whether Dad, loyal dean might have the physical strength to attend the funeral. God gave him the strength, and he was there. During the last days of Mom's life and in the days following, Dad's physical condition now requires around-the-clock care. He is acknowledged, as perhaps we all do, but more urgently, that his days on earth are numbered. We grieve for his suffering and for the loss of his beloved. Our beloved next-door neighbor, Lynn, who cared lovingly and unselfishly for her ailing mother for the last 15 years of her mother's life, now requires oxygen, prepared mountains of food, literally and generously, for Deanne and me during the most stressful times of Mom's last days and during the time we hosted relatives that were here for the funeral. An incredible act of love, as we also witness that same love by so many, all of you, in fact, during this time of loss. And we thank you. Yesterday, I received a telephone call from one of the doctors of my friend Hal, who said to me, "Hal could really use a visit from you right now as he is not doing well. Is it possible for you to arrange a visit with him soon?" So I went and sat down beside the bed of my friend, likely his deathbed. We remembered all our many good times together, including meals out, trips taken, birthdays celebrated, Sunday school classes and worship services attended, including my installation service here at Mayflower, and many, many other wonderful times. Hal was very honest about his declining physical health. He mentioned that his time left on this terrestrial ball would not be long. We remembered, we wept, and shared two telephone calls that came in from two of his beloved relatives during our visit. One was from his daughter Hope, who remembered that it was Maundy Thursday. She was very musical, so we decided to sing a hymn over the phone. It's the same hymn that we just heard. "O Sacred Head Now Wounded." A special moment for Hal's believing heart, and mine too. So, I felt emotionally quite prepared for this service of meditation, reflection, and somber remembrance on this Good Friday. It is good on this day not to look ahead in time, but to weep with those who weep, to think of the despairing cries of those who find it difficult to anticipate the joys of Easter, while much hope is lost and future joy seems unimportant and elusive. We know that Good Friday ends with a comma and not a period, but we thoroughly place ourselves today within that comma of sorrow, pain, and loss. There is another emotion of Good Friday, and it is the emotion of remorse. Judas must have felt remorse, the betrayer of Jesus, as he dealt with his conflicting emotions of love and hate, admiration and ridicule, and love of money and love of God. Peter was outspoken, impulsive, and quick on his feet, declaring with certainty and boldness when asked by Jesus who Peter thought Jesus was. Without hesitation, Peter boldly declared, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." An amazing and courageous affirmation. Later, when things got more intense and opposition mounted, Peter seemed to be able to step up to the plate and, in an effort to defend Jesus, cut off the ear of a slave named Malchus with his sword. Things went downhill from there. Following Jesus' arrest and interrogation, as Peter was warming himself by the fire, he was asked by a woman if he was one of the disciples. He responded, "I am not." Later, the police questioned Peter, "You are not also one of those disciples, are you?" I am not, replied Peter. And then one of the slaves, a relative, as you heard this morning, or today, a relative of the one whose ear was cut off by Peter, said, Did I not see you in the garden with him? No, said Peter. The cock then crowed, and Peter went out and wept bitterly. Remorse set in. In the haunting hymn, a spiritual questions are asked. Were you there when they crucified my Lord? Were you there when they nailed him to the tree? Were you there when they pierced his side? Were you there when the sun refused to shine? Judas wasn't there. He had the most obvious case of remorse. The scriptures tell us that he ended his own life. Peter wasn't there. His tears indicated his remorse, but he wasn't there. Most of the disciples weren't there either. We assume they felt remorse and fear when they later gathered in a room where they had all the doors locked. The adoring crowds at Palm Sunday weren't there either. We hope also they felt remorse. Who was there? Mary Magdalene, another Mary who was Jesus' aunt, Jesus' mother Mary, all of those women were there. And one disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, for obvious reasons, who agreed to care for Jesus' mother. And finally, in the answer to the question, were you there when they laid him in the tomb? The answer is yes, for a Pharisee whose name was Nicodemus, the one who was often chided for unbelief during an earlier conversation with Jesus. So don't believe that about Nicodemus or categorize anyone according to their group identity, religious identity, national identity, or their racial identity. Because when those questions are asked of me, the answer is no, I wasn't there either for all of the same reasons as Judas, Peter, most of the disciples, and the adoring crowds. I wasn't there.
Thank you.
May the sorrow and love which flowed mingled down from the cross flow not only into our hearts and our minds, but into our conscience, our souls, and into our spirits. Amen.